as is the need when you are trying to get through the 39 books of the Hebrew Scriptures in a short 15 weeks, you have to do a bit of fast-forwarding. So last week, we saw Abraham and young Isaac, and now we meet that boy Isaac in his old age, and his sons, Esau and Jacob. The twins, Esau being the older twin. However, you may remember that while Rebekah was pregnant, God told her that her boys represent two nations, and that the older son would serve the younger. And that when the boys were born, Esau was born with Jacob gripping his heel. And then as they grow, it seems Rebekah always seems to favor Jacob. And so as you heard, when it was time for Isaac to bestow a blessing upon his eldest son, with Rebekah's help, Jacob tricks him and steals the blessing. Well, it isn't terribly surprising that Esau isn't very happy about this. So Jacob ends up fleeing his brother's wrath. He leaves quickly. As night falls, he's left with little and uses a rock as a pillow. So he's alone, lonely, at risk. And really, I mean, a rock for a pillow doesn't seem that hospitable. A little part of me wonders if Jacob ever, in that moment, questioned whether it was all that wise to have stolen his brother's blessing. But while he sleeps, God appears to Jacob in a dream. God informs Jacob that he will give him the land on which he lies, and that his offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and that they will spread to the east and west, north and south. God says, "Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go." And for Jacob, it's so real that he exclaims, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." It's so real for him, he doesn't call it a dream experience. He feels that God is right there with him. And he names the place Bethel, from the Hebrew words Beit and Elohim, which means house of God. And he marks the place with that stone that he was using as a pillow, and he sets it as a pillar and pours oil on it. And I have to admit that I'm always a little surprised that God is so loving and gracious that even a stolen blessing is honored. There is a rabbi who wrote of going to Rome as part of his work in an interfaith agency to meet with the Pope. At the same time, he and his wife had friends who were expecting a baby. Those friends were Catholic, so the rabbi and his wife talked about getting the baby a gift while they were there and decided that a rosary would be a good gift. So while he was in Rome, the rabbi went looking for a rosary. He found a booth where he found the perfect one. And somehow, the guy there talked him into buying not one rosary, but three, and a snow globe. He found some humor in that. What does a rabbi need with three rosaries? But all the same, he had them blessed by the Pope. On the flight home, he was seated next to a man who really wanted to talk. In the course of the conversation, the rabbi learned the man had lost a child in the last year. They talked a lot about that. And it just so turned out that he was Catholic. And in the end, the rabbi gave the man one of his rosaries. And he thought to himself that perhaps the seating arrangement was the work of God. God is in this place, and I did not know it. It seems to me that, like Jacob and that rabbi, we often find God shows up in unexpected places. And then, like Jacob, when God does show up, we really like to build things to mark the occasion. God showed up to a rocky piece of land and made a beautiful promise to Jacob. And in time, Jacob made Bethel into something really big, and it became this place that people had to travel to see God, instead of realizing that God travels with us. Because you can't build a house for God and keep God there, or hold God within four walls and a roof. It just does not work. Instead, God goes with us and tends to show God's self to us in strange, unexpected places. God shows up in the night in a dream. Or God shows up for a rabbi who happens to have a few rosaries in his pocket. Or God shows up in a waiting room or in a difficult conversation or in a strange, dark, unknown place. The point is that we don't get to mandate where God shows up, or when, for that matter. So, what then? Well, I can't help but wonder if a lot of the time we don't get in our own way of seeing or hearing or recognizing God when we meet God. When the wind blows just right, or when, you know that time when somebody just is on your mind and you keep thinking of them? Or when you find that little bit of peace in your heart in spite of everything around you that just says chaos? Do you recognize that as God's presence? Or as God's voice? I wonder, do you stop to notice? But God is in those places, much to our constant surprise. God is in the waiting room. God is in the hospital room. God is at the meeting, in the car, in the garden, in the middle of nowhere. God is there. God keeps showing up. And putting up altars or churches doesn't make it last longer or more real. I have a hunch that instead of building something, God would rather have us move to a new place to discover what it is that God would say to us there, to see what God would tell us to do there. To see what God is up to in a new place. I think that if we do that, if we go out there and watch for God to show up, we will not be disappointed, and we will be changed. And we'll say, kind of like Jacob did, God is in this place, and I did not know it. And it will be yet another moment of beauty on a long journey of moments with God. Amen.